الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading what the author here mentioned رحمه الله تعالى about the affairs that are the means to nourish and to cultivate and to strengthen the faith, to cultivate the iman and to strengthen it in the heart of a believer and to make it firm and strong and beneficial. And we continue reading. He said, رحمه الله ومن أسباب دواء الإيمان الإكثار من ذكر الله كل وقت ومن الدعاء الذي هو مخ العبادة. So he said, رحمه الله تعالى, and from the means that call to faith, and from the means that call to faith is to remember Allah, the remembrance of Allah, ذكر الله الإكثار من ذكر الله, to remember Allah often at every time, to remember Allah, to have the dhikr of Allah, to remember Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, often and abundantly, kulla waqt, at every time. And he said, and also supplicating and calling on Him, and he remembering Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the heart and calling on Him. Remembering Him with the heart and likewise the tongue. And the dhikr is with the heart and with the tongue. And a believer, he will praise and mention Allah Azza wa Jalla in his praises and glorification, and with his tongue and likewise with his heart, he will praise Him with love and reverence and honor. And he will hope for the reward, and he will remember Allah with trust and reliance, and also with fear and hope. And the likes like this, this is yani from the beautiful affairs. So to remember Allah in every circumstance, in every situation, in all times, and to call on Him, and to invoke Him, and to supplicate to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for one's every need, in every circumstance, in every situation. And he said, this dua and supplication, invocation, mukhu al-ibadah, it is the essence the life of worship and servitude. So the Shaykh, he says, فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ لِلَّهِ يَغْرِسُ شَجْرَةَ الْإِيمَانِ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَيُغَذِّيهَا وَيُنَمِّيهَا. Because the remembrance of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it plants the tree of faith in the heart. It plants the tree of faith in the heart, and it nourishes it, and he causes it to grow. So from the greatest affairs that will cultivate and raise the faith, and increase the faith, and strengthen the faith, and keep the faith good and firm, it will be a means to nourish the faith, the iman in the heart of a believer, is to remember Allah. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not restricted to the tasbih and the tamheed and the takbir and the tahleel and the likes like this, simply saying it with the tongue. But rather, one, he must say it with his tongue and likewise believe it in his heart. Whenever he praises Allah, he says Alhamdulillah, he says that with love. He says that with love, remembering the bounties and the blessings of Allah, loving Allah for His favors and for His kindness and for His mercy, praising Him for His beautiful names and attributes of perfection. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Whenever when he thinks about the bounty and the favor of Al-Islam and the guidance to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the clear methodology of the Sahaba and the scholars of Hadith, al-Qurun al-Mufaddala, yani the methodology of a Salaf al-Salih, a believer, he will say Alhamdulillah. He says it with his tongue, all praise and thanks is for Allah, but his heart is thanking Allah. He knows the misguided ways and how dangerous they are, and how evil they are, and how foul they are, and how disgusting they are, and how filthy they are, and that Allah, He saved him from those ways, first and foremost from the ways of disbelief, and then after that from the ways of innovation and the ways of misguidance and deviation, all the way to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the light of it, tawheed. So therefore a believer, he says Alhamdulillah, and he thanks Allah with his heart and with his tongue. He thanks Allah with his heart and with his tongue, remembering Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. There's nothing greater than Him. He's the greatest in His life and His knowledge and His power, His authority, and His wisdom. Nothing is hard for Him. Everything is easy. Nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the greatest. He is the greatest. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, subhanallah, glorified is Allah. He has no deficiency. He's not sleepy or tired. He's not hungry. He needs nothing from us. Whether we need Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not need our worship, whether we need the worship. It's a favor from Him if He allows us to worship Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not need anything. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, subhanallah. He has no deficiency. He has no weakness. He has no defect, no fault. Subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorified above all of that. So a believer, he will remember Allah like this, and he will praise Him in this manner. And likewise, the adhkar that come after the salawat specifically. the adhkar that come after the salawat specifically, and he's making these adhkar, and this is from the means of being from dhakirin Allah kathira wa dhakirat, from those who remember Allah often, from the male and from the females. Well, from the male and from the females, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْرِحُونَ, and remember Allah as much as you can, and abundantly, in order to be successful. From that is these adhkar here that are legislated in specific times, especially after the five daily prayers. From the greatest means to strengthen the faith and to increase the faith is to learn those adhkar that we had studied previously in the book Umdat al-Ahkam, after the five daily prayers, and specifically. And likewise in the morning and in the evening. In the morning and the evening, and to say them with the tongue, and to know what they mean, and to know what they mean, and to say them with the tongue, and to believe in that in the heart, and to believe in that in the heart. Allahumma inni asbahtu ushiduka wa ushidu hamalat arshika wa malaikataka wa jami'a khalqika annaka anta Allahu la ilaha illa anta wahdaka la sharika laka wa anna Muhammadan abduka wa rasuluka. The one who makes this dhikr in the morning and the evening, and he knows what he's saying, would have a great effect on his heart. And he says it while he believes in it, that I came to this morning and I call you to witness, O Allah. I call you to witness, and I call the bearers of the throne to witness, and the angels to witness, and all of the creation to witness, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for you. Alone with no partners. And this man are like this, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger, is your slave and messenger. And I bear witness that Muhammad is your slave and messenger. It's been authenticated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this specific dhikr to be mentioned four times in the morning and the evening from those scholars who have authenticated this narration, Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. This is an example of that. Allahumma inni asbahtu ushiduka wa ushidu hamalata arshika wa malaikataka wa jami'a khalqika annaka anta Allah la ilaha illa ant. And I came to this morning, or asbahtu aw amsaytu. Yani like this, where I came to the evening, and I call you to witness, O Allah, and the bearers of the throne, meaning the carriers of the throne, and the angels, and all of the creations, that you are Allah. That you are Allah. Annaka anta Allahu la ilaha illa anta. And there's nothing worthy of worship except for you. Wa anna Muhammadan abduka wa rasuluka. And the one who says this, and he knows what this means, this is planting that tree, cultivating that tree, raising that tree, nourishing that tree. And this is one of a number of supplications that are legislated for a believer to say every single morning before the rising of the sun, and every single evening before the setting of the sun. The one who memorizes these and learns them, this is from the greatest yani means. And then likewise after that, yani increasing whenever he awakes, and whenever he goes to bed, and whenever he rides a vehicle, and whenever he enters the masjid, and whenever he leaves the masjid, whenever he enters his home, and whenever he leaves his home, and whenever he eats his food, and whenever he's finished with his food, whenever he is given a gift or gives a gift, and whenever he puts on new clothing, or whenever he puts on old clothing, and in every circumstance, whenever he takes care of a debt, and in every situation, whenever he has sexual relations with his family. There's a legislative means to remember Allah, planting that faith and strengthening that faith. And the one who learns the sunan is from the greatest means to be steadfast and to be firm upon it, tawheed, and to strengthen the faith in the heart of a believer. So the Shaykh is saying, فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ لِلَّهِ يَغْرِسُ شَجَرَةَ الْإِيمَانِ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَيُغَذِّيهَا وَيُنَمِّيهَا. That verily the remembrance of Allah, it plants the tree of faith in the heart, and it nourishes it, and it causes it to grow. The remembrance of Allah has proceeded is not specific to any of these adhkar likewise. Also, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla is to remember His commandments. To remember His commandments and to comply to them and abide by them, and to perform them properly. And to remember His prohibitions, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the dhikr of Allah, from the greatest dhikr of Allah, to remember His prohibitions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and avoid them and stay away from them and fear Him. To remember Him and to know Him by His beautiful names and attributes, and likewise from His blessings and bounties, and to know Him from His creation, His signs and His creation, as well as from His legislation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember Him in this manner. To remember Him in this manner, whenever a person, his soul is calling him to disobedience, calling him to lusts that are impermissible, to remember Allah, and to remember the limits of Allah, and to stop out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is a great and amazing affair. To remember the obligation of prayer and the obligation of the rights of al-Islam, the rest of the obligations, and then to fear Allah, to hope for His reward and promise, and to comply to them and to perform them. This is from the greatest yani of the remembrances of Allah. To remember the meeting of Allah and the promise of Allah of paradise. To remember the threat of Allah and the anger of Allah and His punishment for those who disobey. Yani this is yani from the greatest means to strengthen and to cultivate and to nourish the faith in the heart of a believer. So he says, rahimahullah, وَكُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ الْعَبْدُ ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ قَوِيَ إِيمَانُهُ. So every time a believer, or whenever a believer increases in the remembrance of Allah, this proper remembrance which has preceded, any examples of that, then his faith will strengthen. His faith will strengthen. كَمَا أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ يَدْعُو إِلَى كَثْرَةِ ذِكْرٍ فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِ وَمَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْإِيمَانُ بَلْ هِيَ رُوحُهُ بَلْ هِيَ رُوحُهُ. So the Shaykh, he says that every time or whenever the slave, he increases in the remembrance of Allah, his faith will strengthen. And just like this as well, the faith, it calls to remember Allah abundantly. The faith, yani al-Iman, it calls a person to remember Allah abundantly. And this is the affair. And all of these affairs that have preceded, to remember, and to ponder over the names of Allah and His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ponder over the Book of Allah, and to ponder over the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to ponder over the creation. All of this is calling one to remember Allah, and to remember His greatness and His majesty and His right to be worshipped. Subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, that He's worthy of worship. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore, yani this is from the greatest means that will strengthen the faith. And this is, in reality, faith is calling to this affair, to remember Allah. It's calling to remember Allah, to remember Him, yani to remember Him in the morning and in the evening, and to remember Him by complying to His commandments and avoiding and staying away from His prohibitions, and to remember the meaning of Allah. And to remember the meaning of Allah. The Shaykh, he says, so whoever loved Allah, whoever loves Allah, then he will mention Him abundantly. Whoever truly loves Allah, then he will mention Him a lot. And the love of Allah, this is al-Iman. Rather, it's the life of faith. It's the life of faith. And the ruh of Iman, the soul and the essence, meaning the life of faith. The faith is alive, yani according to how much one loves Allah and prefers the love of Allah. And whenever somebody loves something, then he will mention that a lot. مَنْ أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِ. The people of knowledge, they say that whoever loves something, he will mention it a lot. He'll mention it a lot. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah knows best, he would make that supplication. The most, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِ عَلَى دِينِكَ. Oh Allah, make my heart firm. O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm upon your deen. Because if the heart is firm upon something, it will love that. It will love that. And this is what will be mentioned. And this is what will be yani applied. And this is what one's life will revolve around. What he loves. We see today many people, they love sports. They love sports. Some people, they love soccer. Every time you see them, all they can talk about is soccer, football. That's all they can talk about. And they know a lot about it. And they know a lot about the players. And they know a lot about the stats. And they know, and they know, and they know, and they know. And if you catch them, that's all they talk about. As if that's all they know. As if that's what they're created for. Waliyadhu billah. And this is because of the place of soccer in the heart of that person. Other people, basketball. Other people, other affairs. Yani some people, yani fashion. Waliyadhu billah. Ta'isa abdu dinar. Ta'isa abdu dirham. Ta'isa abdu khamisa. Yani some people, they're like this. Whatever a person loves, he will talk about it all the time. So the one who truly loves Allah, he will talk about Allah all the time. The one who truly loves the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will talk about the Messenger all the time. All the time. The more one learns of the way of Allah, meaning the deen of Allah, and the legislation of Allah, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's not a turn in his life, a step that he makes, except for he's able to do that with a narration. He's able to do that, everything in his life, he's able to find guidance from the Lord of the worlds, and in the Quran and in the sunnah, and in the way of the pious predecessors, how he's going to move, how he's going to go through his day, what he's going to do, whenever he turns, and whenever he stops, and whenever he looks, and whenever he lowers his gaze, and what he does, and what he does not do, what he takes, and what he accepts, and what he gives. And there's guidance and detail from every aspect of the human life. And then whenever a believer, he truly loves Allah, and he truly loves the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the deen of Allah, he will move like this. He'll move like this, and he will be from those who are truthful, that they say every morning and every evening from those adhkar, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهِ وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَهِ وَمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيَّهِ. And it is also from those adhkar that one he will say every morning. He will remind himself and he will say it, confessing out loud, yani to Allah, that I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and with Muhammad, with Islam as my religion and deen and way of life, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my prophet and my role model. So the point of the Shaykh, rahimahullah, is to clarify this affair. From the means that cultivate and nourish and strengthen the iman in the heart of a believer is to remember Allah, is to remember Allah, yani abundantly, to remember Allah abundantly, yani in the legislative manner, according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, not including the innovated remembrances that some of the deviant ways they have made up. You say this name of Allah this many times, 1,000 times in the morning, or 2,000 times, or 1,000,000 times, and so on and so forth, and they'll have big beads, and they'll make a lot of noise, and all of this is falsehood, and this is not from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, rather this is from the avenues of shaitan, and there's no dhikr, wallahu alam, that I'm aware of, and the people of knowledge have mentioned this likewise, that is 1,000. You mentioned this 1,000 times, or 500 times, and the likes like this. There's no dhikr that has come with this great number, this many times, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah knows best. So what is intended here, the dhikr that is legislated according to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that which you can find, the mention of this affair in the Qur'an, or in the Kutub al-Sittah, and the likes like this. Not some innovated manners of remembering Allah, or getting together and making it out loud, and one of them who will praise Allah, and the rest of them, they will praise Allah together behind him, and the likes like this. This is not what is intended. Rather, what is intended, a dhikr al-shar'i, that is established in the Qur'an and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, the shaykh, he says, وَمِنَّ الْأَسْبَابِ الْجَارِبَةِ لِلْإِيمَانِ مَعْرِفَةُ مَحَاسِنِ الدِّينِ. This is amazing affair. Right here he says, Rahimahullah, and from the means that bring about the faith, al-asbab al-jariba, that bring about the faith, is to know the beauty of al-Islam, to know the beauty of the religion, mahasin al-deen, yani the beautiful aspects of the religion of al-Islam. So he says, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ دِينَ al-Islami كُلُّهُ mahasin, because the religion of al-Islam, the Islamic religion, all of it is beautiful. All of it is beautiful. And this is an amazing affair. And this is the truth. All of it is beautiful. Every last aspect of the deen is beautiful. And there's nothing light in the religion. We shouldn't be deceived. Imam Malik, he mentioned, Rahimahullah, laysa fi dini shay'un khafif. There's nothing in the religion that's considered light. And he mentioned, inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Verily, we're going to reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a heavy statement. So this is the case. There's nothing in the religion that is light. Nothing in the deen is light. The whole religion is beautiful. فَإِنَّ الدِّينَ الْإِسْلَامِ كُلُّهُ مَحَاسِنٌ. All of it is beautiful. All of it is good and beautiful. And this is an amazing affair. And this is something that no doubt is the truth. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Al-Jameel. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, from his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection is that Allah, he is the most beautiful. Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. The verity Allah, from his attributes, he's the most beautiful. He's the most beautiful. His beauty is the beauty of perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every aspect from his beautiful names, al-jameel. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. The verity Allah, He is the most beautiful, and He loves beauty. And the beauty that He loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt is outward beauty and also inward beauty. And the inward beauty takes precedence. And this is in the legislation. This is why He has legislated the legislation of al-Islam. It's the legislation of the most beautiful. So therefore, it's the most beautiful legislation. The religion of al-Islam is the most beautiful religion. And the Shaykh is going to mention now, يعني some issues, يعني clarifying that. أقائده الصح الأقائد وأصدقها وأنفعها. The creeds and the belief of al-Islam, the religion of al-Islam, is the most correct belief. The most correct belief and the most truthful and beneficial belief. The most correct and truthful and beneficial belief. The foundation of the creed of al-Islam is La ilaha illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Allah, He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who created the trees and the stars and the fish and the seas and the mountains and the water. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the eyes and the feet and the hand. He created everything. He's the creator. Is there anything worthy of worship besides the creator? Of course not. There's nothing worthy of worship beside the Creator, because everything is in creation. A need of the Creator cannot even be existence except any by the permission of the Creator. So therefore, worshiping the creation is falsehood. Is falsehood. What is truth is to worship the Creator. This is the foundation of Al-Islam. To worship the Creator and not the creation. That all aspects of worship, outwardly and inwardly, should be dedicated entirely and devoted entirely to Allah alone. He is the only one who has the right for them. He is the only one who deserves them truthfully, because He is the Creator of all of existence. He is the provider and the sustainer of all of existence. Nothing happens in His kingdom except with His permission and will. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who is alive and never dies. Everything else that has a life, it will die. It will die. It will die. It either has died or will die. This is the case. As for Allah, He never dies. As for Allah, He never dies. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He's the only one who's worthy of worship. So therefore, it's very clear that the creed of Al-Islam is the most truthful and correct and beneficial creed. Worshipping something that cannot benefit you from mankind, like angels, that cannot help you without the permission of the Creator of the angels, the prophets. The prophets cannot help you without the permission of the Creator of the prophets. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was harmed a number of times in battles, and his family members, they were killed, and his companions, they were killed. He was not able to help them. He was not able to help them against the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. His uncle, who aided him, and his whole life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, almost his whole life before prophethood and after prophethood, aided him, supported him, and protected him and defended him and his people. He was not able to guide him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, laysa laka min al-amri shay. He has no say in the command. This is something in the hand of Allah. So therefore, to trust and to rely upon a prophet is falsehood and not beneficial whatsoever. And anything lesser than that, like cows, to worship a cow and to prostrate before a cow, or to lay in the middle of the street on your stomach and let the cow walk on your back and the likes like this, out of honor and respect for the cow. This is the most ignorant and foolish of affairs. Very clear, the cow cannot stop yani McDonald's and Burger King and the rest of the hamburger. Yani, Allah musta'an, right? Or on the day of Eid al-Adha, where they come, that this is like sefa jiddan, to worship a cow, to worship a star, because it's created. It's not worthy of worship. It's created. The one who created is worthy of worship. Look at the cow. It's an amazing creation. So beneficial. But it's not worthy of worship. And subhanAllah. Yani, because it's created. It's created. Anything like this, rats, or whatever the case may be, and the most noble or even the lowliest, rocks and stones, all of these are from creation. So to worship besides the Creator is the most harmful and the most false and incorrect creed and belief. So what is the most correct creed and belief and the most beneficial belief? Is that one must devote himself entirely, all of his actions of worship, to the Creator of creation and not to anything from creation. This is what the Al-Islam is based upon. This is the foundation of the deen. This is the foundation of the deen. And then he says, Rahimahullah, wa akhlaquhu ahmadul akhlaq wa ajmaluha. And the manners and the etiquettes of Al-Islam are the most praiseworthy and the most beautiful manners. The most beautiful manners and etiquettes: to smile to your brother, and to love for your brother what you love for yourself. And to love for your brother what you love for yourself. And in all of the etiquettes of Al-Islam, the etiquettes of generosity and kindness and showing preference, al-ithar, preferring others, yu'thiruna ala anfusihim walau kana bihim khasasa, preferring others over your own soul, even though you are in need, showing preference to your brother, to let him sit down and be comfortable before you're comfortable, to let him eat and to drink and get full and to get quenched from thirst before you yourself are, showing preference to others, loving good for others, the noble manners of being truthful and being honest and fulfilling the trust. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, adul amanata liman atamanaka. This is the manners of Al-Islam: to perform the trust and to fulfill the duty to those who trust you and entrust you, and do not betray those who betray you. And this is a beautiful affair. This is a beautiful affair. This is from the lofty and noble manners of Al-Islam: to pardon those who harm you, and to forgive those who deceive you, and to overlook the faults of others. And then if a person is oppressing another, then you take him to account. Yani, whenever he has transgressed the limits in a great manner. Yani, and the likes like this, the oppressor, he's taken by his hand and he's stopped, even if he's your brother. Even if he's your brother. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman, to aid your brother, whether he is the oppressed or the oppressor. And so you have to, this is considered aiding him in every situation. If he is oppressed, it's very clear, you help him out of oppression. And if he is oppressing himself, then you stop him from that. You stop him from that. So this is from the beautiful affairs of al-Islam. All of the manners of al-Islam is the most beautiful manners and the most lofty etiquettes and the most pious and righteous any conduct and way of life. Allahu Akbar. He says, وَأَعْمَالُهُ وَأَحْكَامُهُ أَحْسَنُ الْأَحْكَامُ وَعَدَلُهَا. And the deeds of al-Islam and the rulings and regulations of al-Islam are the most beautiful rulings and the most just. The most beautiful rulings and the most just. The most beautiful rulings in every aspect of life, even in inheritance. لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظْ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. The male, he has the right of two females. This is from the most beautiful affair, the most beneficial affair, and the most just affair, that in the inheritance, if there's a son and a daughter who inherit their brother and sisters, the brother, he gets twice of the sister. He gets twice of the sister. And this is because if the sister, something happens to her or is in need, it's an obligation for the brother to spend on her. So he needs to have more money because he has to spend and take care of his sister. As for if something happens to the brother, it's not incumbent, nor is it an obligation for the sister to spend on her brother. It's not an obligation, and it's not a requirement for the sister to spend on her brother. The brother's going to have to find another way to find a living and to find a way out from this hardship. As for the sister, then it's upon the brother to spend on her and to provide for her and to cover her, especially if it's the father who died. Especially if it's the father who died, and now you have a brother and a sister with no father. Who is going to take care of the house and the home? Who is going to pay the bills, and who is going to bring the food and the likes like this to the house and to the home? The brother, he's going to do that. Therefore, he needs more money because now he has to take care of himself and his sister and the rest of his family. So therefore, Allah Azza wa Jalla, the most just, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, al-Hakam al-Adil, and he has legislated this ruling like this, in this manner. Then the male, he will have twice as the female. And this is justice. And this is a beautiful affair for the one who ponders and reflects. And he has knowledge of these affairs. This is one example. He said, وَبِهَذَا النَّظَرَ الْجَلِيلِ يُزَيِّنُ وَاللَّهُ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قَلْبِ الْعَبْدِ وَيُحَبِّبُهُ إِلَيْهِ كَمَا امْتَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَى خِيَارِ خَلْقِهِ بِقَوْلِهِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So he says, Rahimahullah, by looking like this, by having this this thought and this view, this perspective, looking into the deen in this manner, looking into life in this manner, this is the way. And from this aspect, Allah, He will beautify the faith in the heart of a person by learning the beauty of al-Islam, the beauty of the creed of al-Islam and the belief of al-Islam and the pillars of al-Islam and the pillars of faith and al-Iman, and learning the beauty of the rulings and the legislations and the justice in al-Islam and the noble and lofty character and conduct and manners of al-Islam. By learning these affairs and pondering over them and reflecting them, the Shaykh is telling us now, this is how Allah, He decorates the faith in the heart of a believer, by learning how beautiful this affair is. So now he begins to love it, because it's very natural and created in the human being that he loves beauty, that he loves things that are beautiful and good and beneficial. He's attracted to them and he loves them. So whenever one, he sees the beauty and the benefit of al-Islam and the rulings of al-Islam and the deen of al-Islam and the legislation of al-Islam and the laws and the regulations and the limits of al-Islam, yani in every aspect of the human life, then he will love it. He will love it. It will become decorated in his heart and he will prefer it. And this is what he's saying here. Allah will make it beloved to him in this manner by learning about it, by learning about the regulations and the deen of al-Islam in detail. Just as Allah has bestowed a great blessing, just as Allah has bestowed a great blessing upon the best of His creation. And His statement, but rather it is Allah who has made beloved to you the faith. And He has adorned it and decorated it in your hearts. And He has adorned it and decorated it in your hearts. نَسَلَ اللَّهَ الْكَرِيمَ أَنْ يُحَبِّبَ إِلَيْنَا الْإِيمَانَ وَيُزَيِّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِنَا. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make the faith beloved to us and to adorn it and to decorate it in our hearts. That we love Islam, and that we love Iman, and that we love Tawheed, and that we love Sunnah, that we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's a favor from Allah. We ask Him to increase us in this affair. He says, فَيُكُونُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي الْقَلْبِ أَعْظَمَ الْمَحْبُوبَاتِ وَأَجْمَلَ الْأَشْيَاءِ. At this time, after realizing, and the point now, is the beauty of al-Islam. This is coming here from realizing and pondering, and this having this view and this perspective, that the Iman will be the most beloved thing in the heart. the most beautiful affairs in the heart of that person. The greatest of all that which is beloved. And at this time, he will taste the sweetness of faith. At this time, he will taste the sweetness of it. The most beloved thing to him now will be faith, will be Allah, will be his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be the legislation about Islam. At this time, he'll be pleased. So he says, فَوَبِهَذَا يَذُوقُ الْعَبْدُ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ وَيَجِدُهَا فِي قَلْبِهِ. And in this manner, the person, a slave, he will taste the sweetness of faith, and he will find it in his heart. فَيَتَجَمَّلُ الْبَاطِنُ بِأُصُولِ الْإِيمَانِ وَحَقَائِقِهِ وَتَتَجَمَّلُ الْجَوَارِحُ بِأَعْمَالِ الْإِيمَانِ وَفِي الدُّعَاءِ الْمَأْثُورِ اللَّهُمَّ زَيِّنَّا بِزِينَةِ الْإِيمَانِ وَجَعَلْنَا هُدَاةَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. So in this manner, the inward aspect of the human being in his heart and in his mind will be decorated and will be adorned. It will be beautified with the foundations of faith and the realities of faith. The foundations of faith, yani al-imanu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa yawmil akhiri wa al-imanu بالقدر خيره وشره. And the haqa'iq, the realities of al-iman likewise, yani from the loving Allah and showing their preference to the love of Allah and hoping in Allah, and that's in the heart, and fearing Allah and trusting and relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and humbling oneself before Allah and breaking down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love and devotion and sincerity and truthfulness and servitude. And in this manner, the inside of a person in his inward life will be beautiful. Will be beautiful. Wallahu jamilun yuhibbul jamal. And Allah, He is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. This is the peak of beauty for the human being, to surrender himself to Allah with Islam. To surrender himself to Allah without Islam, the Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions. Then he says, and also the body parts outwardly will be adorned and beautified with the actions of al-Iman. With the actions of al-Iman. And it has come in a legislated supplication that is authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, Allahumma zayyinna bi zinati al-iman. O Allah, adorn us with the adornment of faith. And he beautify us with the beauty of faith. Al-iman, it has a zina. Al-iman, it has a zina, it has a beauty. A beauty on the inside, and likewise on the outside. And the one who has strong faith, it will beautify him. It'll beautify him in his manners, in his conduct, in his dealings. Whenever he's walking, whenever he's speaking, whenever he's talking, whenever he's dealing with the people, whatever the case may be, whatever the situation may be, the iman will adorn him and beautify him to where he will move in the right manner in every circumstance, and he by the permission of Allah, that he will move in a beautiful and in a good way in every circumstance, whether it's cool and easy or whether it's hot and difficult. Whatever the circumstance may be, whenever a person is guided by iman, yahdihim rabbuhum bi imanihim, they will say that which is good, and they will do that which is good, and they won't come out of character. And they won't come out of character because they fear, they have iman, they fear Allah. They fear Allah, they will not get over on nobody, they will not rob nobody, they will not deceive nobody, they will not cheat nobody, they will not harm nobody. They will not harm nobody because al-iman brings amana and it brings an aman. And for a person and for others likewise. And for others likewise, this is the case. Allahumma zayyinna bi zinati al-iman wa ja'alna hudat al-muhtadin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, O Allah, adorn us with the adornment of faith. And it beautify us with the beauty of iman, and make us from those who guide others and are guided themselves, and it make us from those who are means to guide others and are rightly guided themselves. We say the supplication, Allahumma zayyidna bi zinati al-iman wa ja'alna hudatan muhtadin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to adorn us and to beautify us with the beauty of faith, with the adornment of faith, and to make us from those who are guided and are means to guide others and a means to guide others. Pondering over this affair, the beauty of al-Islam, mahasin al-deen, yani for the beauty of al-Islam, it calls many people to the faith, and from the very beginning, the beautiful, if you want to ponder and we want to think about the beauty of al-Islam, we begin right where it starts. Where does it start? Huh? In the heart. What's that say? Shajarat al-Iman. It begins in the heart. It begins in the heart. The most beautiful affair of al-Islam is that it's based upon foundation and fundamentals of belief and creed. Believing in Allah, that He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the sustainer and the provider, And he alone is the one who is worthy of worship. And he is the one who is truly worshipped in truth. And everything besides him is worshipped in falsehood and not worthy of worship. That he is the one who is alive and never dies. That he is the one who feeds and he never and he's not fed. And that he doesn't get sleepy or tired. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore it's based upon believing in the Creator. Believing in Allah. Like they say in America, believing in God. Yani, but we call it, his name is Allah. His name is Allah, so not to be confused. The true God. Yani, the true God. We can say believing in the true God. Al-Ilahul Haqq, the true God. His name is Allah. Annaka anta Allah. Yani, he is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the foundation of this. To believe in Allah. This is the foundation of the deen of al-Islam. To believe in Allah. And likewise to believe in angels. That Allah, he has angels. And to believe in prophets, all of them. To believe in, from the beauty of al-Islam, you believe in all of the prophets. To believe in all of the prophets. And not to belie or deny any of them. To believe in Jesus. And to believe in Moses. And to believe in Abraham and in Noah. And to believe in Prophet Muhammad and all of the prophets. And all of the prophets. And to accept all of them. And to love all of them. And to honor all of them. And to respect all of them. And to follow all of them. قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون الحمد لله. So Islam believes in, we believe in all of the prophets. We believe in all of the books. We believe in the Torah. We believe in the Injil. We believe in the Bible. The proper belief. The proper belief. We believe in the Zabur and the Psalms of Dawood, and that was given wisdom and knowledge. And we believe in Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph, and that he was handsome and beautiful, and he was tried, and he passed the test. Ma'adallah. Subhanallah. And we believe in Lot, Lut. We believe in all of the, this is the religion of al-Islam. Alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful affair. This is a beautiful, we believe in the last day that this life is not nothing and that the person who lies and cheats and steals, he'll be held accountable either in this life or in the hereafter. And he's not equal to those who are honest and truthful. And how foolish would it be to believe that the one who is truthful and honest and pious and chaste in this life, in the end he would die and the outcome will be just like the one who is liar. In the end he would die and the outcome will be just like the one who is a liar and is a cheater. And he deceives, and he deceives people, and he's foul, and the likes like this. He has a foul mouth, and he's despicable, and so on and so forth. In the end, they're all the same. This is an evil way that they believe. No, that's not the case. They're not the same. They're not going to be the, whether there's a day of resurrection, where the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will bring the creation back to life and hold them to account. And hold him to account, and that he has the authority, and he has the command, and that everything he decrees, it will occur, and that which he does not will never happen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the greatest beauty of al-Islam, the creed and the faith. The creed and the faith of al-Islam. I remember the first time I met a Muslim. The first time I met a Muslim, and he asked me what if I was a Christian. I said, no. He said, are you this? I said, no. You were that? I said, no. He said, what do you believe in? I said, I believe. He said, you believe in Jesus? I said, I believe he's a prophet. This is a belief that I had just found myself, alhamdulillah. And from the favor of Allah, and from my own research. I believe he's a prophet, but he's not God. I don't believe that he's God. He said, you sound like a Muslim. I said, what's that? he told me these pillars right here. Well, Muslim, they believe in this, 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 and this. And I was like, Allahu Akbar, this is what I believe. I believe in prophets. And I believe in angels. And I believe in the Day of Judgment. I believe in all of these things already by myself. Alhamdulillah. I was amazed that there was a religion that's organized that has this faith like this. So I accepted immediately. Alhamdulillah. But the person who taught me this, he didn't have too much knowledge. And he told me, if you want to be a Muslim, he didn't give me Shahada. Rather, this was in 1998. He told me that you have to stop eating pork. This was the thing. He didn't give me too much information. So this was the case for me for more than 6 years before I even was guided to the Shahada, alhamdulillah. But the point is that I realized that these pillars of faith, this is the truth. This is ingrained in the human being, to believe in prophets, to believe in messengers, to believe in revelation, to believe in accountability in the Day of Judgment and Resurrection, to believe in angels. To believe in angels. This is something that alhamdulillah, the mind accepts that. This is in the fitrah of the human being. Fitrat Allah. Alati fatra nasa alayha. And this is the fitrah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Dhalika deen al-qayyim. And subhanallah. So it's in the, this is from the beauty of al-Islam. From the things that make you love al-Islam is that you believe in Allah. And you believe in angels. And you believe in books, in revelation, you believe in prophets and messengers. And you know lots about them. Great details and benefits from the stories of the prophets and messengers, especially our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You believe in the last day and the events that will occur at death and the life side. You believe in death and what will happen at that time and after that time. You believe in Jannah, you believe in Nar. This is a beautiful affair. This is a beautiful affair. This is from the beauty of Al-Islam. From the most beautiful affairs about Islam is the tree of faith in the believer. That it will carry him to not cheat nobody. It'll carry him to not lie to nobody. Somebody before Islam, disbeliever, anybody who knows them, they cheat and they lie and they get whatever they like. And some of them are better than others at doing that. But after having faith, it'll carry you to not lie anymore. It'll carry you to not cheat anymore. It'll carry you to stand before Allah in prayer and to purify yourself and to be shy from Allah and from the people. This is a beautiful and amazing affair. So from the greatest aspects of the beauty of Islam is the creed. Al-Iman itself. Al-Iman itself. And then if we ponder likewise over the pillars of Islam. Over the pillars of Islam, the first pillar of course is included in this here, what we discussed. If we ponder over the greatest actions of Islam, which is As-Salat, was Zakat, was Sawm, was Hajj. We ponder and we think about these things in great detail, find how beneficial they are and how beautiful they are. And the prayer, five times a day, that this is from the greatest means that keep that faith strong. That keep that faith strong, that belief strong, and keep it firm and revive it and nourish it and cultivate it. The prayer itself is from the greatest means to keep that faith strong and that connection and that relationship with Allah strong. And then in the prayer is humbleness and humility. And there's supplication and there's invocation and calling and begging and asking. And there's bowing and prostrating before only Allah and nobody else. The religion is purity for him. The prayer is purity for Allah and hoping for the reward from Allah and no one else. This is a beautiful affair. That a believer, he believes in the Creator and then he prays to him. And he calls on him and he humbles himself before him and he submits to him. This is an amazing and a beautiful affair. Many benefits and many, many, many beauties of a salat. And likewise is zakat. It teaches a person that he can't be greedy. It removes the greed from the heart. And it also shows concern for society and for the poor people. That a person, and it raises and cultivates in a believer the noble manners of being generous and being thankful and being helpful and being good to others. And then likewise taking care of those who are needy and those who are weak. And this is a beautiful affair, showing concern for them, remembering them. I have lots of money, they have nothing, I have to give them some. I have lots of money, they have nothing, I have to give them some. It's an obligation. This is from the obligations of faith, the pillars of Islam. This is a beautiful affair. Not to mention how it cultivates this concern in the heart and these noble manners of being generous, these noble manners of being kind, and these noble manners of thinking about others. This is a pillar of faith. This is Islam. And then if you go to fasting, Allahu Akbar. I think I mentioned this before, I remember. Allahu Akbar. The beauty of Islam. Alhamdulillah, we love Islam. Alhamdulillah, we love Islam. May Allah make us die upon loving Islam. I remember after I started praying, after some time, it was maybe years later after I met that man. 6 years later after I met that man, approximately I finally started praying, learning how to pray five times a day. And then after that, I started realizing how beautiful prayer is, how beneficial it is. My life is changing. My life got better. Stress. At this time, I was in a very stressful environment, a very, very, very hard time in my life, and a very difficult time in my life. But the prayer made it all go away. And then I started having so much ease and my life got better. Then after that, they told me about fasting. So at this time, I didn't even know about sunnah. And I didn't know about istinja, but I was praying. And so these things come to me little by little. I remember the person he told me about, he said, oh, you have to make istinja. But I said, what is that? He said, this is from the sunnah. I said, what is that? He said, this is the way of Prophet Muhammad. If I teach you about it, you have to do it. I said, okay, teach me about it. So he taught me about istinja, and this is how I learned about the sunnah. I learned the word sunnah is from making out istinja, purifying your body before you stand in prayer. Before you stand in prayer. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But then some time goes by, and now they're talking about Ramadan is coming. So I was like, if I told myself, if the prayer is like this, I can't wait to see fasting. I can't wait to see fasting. I can imagine because I want to fast. And subhanAllah, so now we're talking about the beauty of fasting. What does it do? It purifies your soul. Fasting, it purifies your soul. It cleanses your soul. It gives you strength to check yourself and to check your desires, to have control, self-control, that you're not a slave to your whims. You're not a slave to your desires. You're not a slave to yourself. Rather, you're a slave to Allah, and you leave off that which is permissible from food and drink, and that you love it, and your wife, and that you love and desire. You leave it for the sake of Allah. No one knows but you and your Lord. And your Lord, it purifies and cleanses the soul, and it's so beneficial, yani, for the soul and for the body and for the mind. This is a pillar of faith. This is the religion of Islam is based upon this. Buniyat Islam ala khamsin. Shahada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, wa iqam as-salah, wa ita'i zakah, wa sawm Ramadan, wa hajj al-bayt. Hajj al-bayt, if you think about the fasting to the pilgrimage. Likewise, the pillar of Islam, the pilgrimage, how much a person he has to spend in wealth. Likewise, he has to give up his wealth and the hardships that he has to face and the dangers that he has to face. And before they used to make Hajj, and they don't know if they're coming back. They don't know if they're coming back, but they will go. And they will go to a place, to a land that has nothing there. There's no plants there. There's no lights. It's in the middle of the desert. And there's hardly even water there. And it's not like an oasis. It's not like a reserve or a resort. And the life's like this. Allah, He made His house, the house of Allah, the Kaaba, and a land that is barren with nothing, to try the people. Will you come and visit for His sake? And if it was in another land where there's trees and where there's fruits and where there's rivers and flowing, you come there for sightseeing. And you can visit the house of Allah while you're there. La, this one has none of that. It's only the house of Allah in the middle of the desert, literally. And it's hot. But a person who will go there for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the dunya. And he will visit and he will benefit and he will follow the rights of the previous prophets, the rights of Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the likes like this. So in al-Islam, it's a beautiful affair. This is from pondering over the pillars of faith and the pillars of al-Islam. Likewise, there's other fundamentals in the religion. From the greatest fundamentals of the religion, al-Ijtima' wa al-Haq. Al-Ijtima' wa al-Haq, to be united upon the truth. To take an allegiance and alliance for the truth, and for this affair that has preceded, for these pillars, for this foundation, for this creed, for these deeds, and to have an allegiance, to be united upon that, and to avoid everything, and to avoid everything that would sever the ties of that, or bring dissension in the ranks of that. And this is what Allah commands, and this is what Islam commands, that people be united, that a person, he won't just be by himself. That he can't just be rich by himself. He just can't be healthy by himself. He just can't be happy by himself. Rather, he should be united with the people of truth. He should be together with them, and he should work with them and cooperate with them. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. That's from the beauty of Islam, if you just ponder over this verse. Cooperate all together upon piety and righteousness. Everything that is good and considered righteous and pious, and the legislation and the sound mind, then you cooperate upon that. And everything that is evil and wicked and transgression and no good, sin, then you cannot cooperate upon that. And so telling the truth, you cooperate together upon that. Lying, you can't cooperate upon that. Getting married in the name of Allah, you cooperate upon that. Committing zina and having illegal sexual intercourse and relationship, you can't cooperate upon that. Is this good or bad? Is this beautiful? It's beautiful. Everybody knows this is beautiful. Even the people who fornicate, they know it's not right and not good. They know it's not right and not good. And those who cheat and those who lie, they know it's not right and not good. Even the ones who are the worst of them. And they love that. And if you really sit them down and you ask them, are you doing good? You'll say, no, I'm not doing good. But then they love that. And they'll call it that. And many of them, subhanAllah, many of the people today, they worship the devil. Worship the creator of the devil. The one who created shaitan. Yani, Allahu Akbar. So this is from the beauty of Islam. From the beauty of Islam. And in this manner, Allah Azza wa Jal, He decorates the faith in the heart of a believer, by knowing the beauty of the legislation of Islam. Also, from the beauty of Islam is that it encompasses the whole life. That there are legal punishments, likewise, that are set in Islam. If a person he does something and violates certain rights, there are legal punishments that will be imposed on this person, and to keep the society in order. A person, he just can't steal, and he without repercussion. And we look today. And societies where this rule is not established, and we find that a person, he steals, and then he's just going to get a slap on the hand, and then he's going to come back and steal again. And then maybe he'll steal something big, and they'll put him in jail for 2 years. And then he'll come back and steal something greater, and he'll go back for 5 years, and then he'll come back and steal and rob somebody and kill them. And then he'll go back for like 14 or 15 more years, and then he'll come back. And it's like a never-ending thing. But if a person, he just saw one man with his hand cut off, and they say, what happened to you? He said, he stole. He'll be like, man, I'm not stealing nothing. I'm not stealing nothing. If that's what they're doing around here, if that's what they're doing around here, I'm not. This is very valuable. Let one, two, three, four people get, let it be imposed like that. These people will be made examples, and nobody else will be stealing anymore. It'll be very rare. Or likewise with drugs and the likes like this. And this is going to go back to Tazir, where there's Tazirat, likewise in Al-Islam. And the ruler, he can impose the death penalty. And if he finds that it's proper, like in Saudi Arabia, they bring drugs over there and they're dealing drugs over there, then they'll die. They'll die, capital punishment. And there's not a lot of drugs over there, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. But over here, somebody does drugs and then they put him back and then he does more drugs. And then the whole family is on, and it's just a never-ending calamity. And they have a drug, what's it called, sinners and so on and so forth, and alcohol and all. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. A man in the society, he will come and he will rape a woman and he'll go to jail for 2-3 months or 2-3 years, and he'll come back and he'll rape another one, and he'll go back for 5 or 6, and then he'll come out and he'll rape a child, and then he'll go, yani subhanAllah. But in Islam, that's all stopped. That stuff will be stopped. It won't happen no more, because a person, he'll be made an example by following the beauty about Islam. So the benefit of the society, they're going to benefit. This man, he violated the right, he'll be taken into account according to the legislation of Allah. And then after that, the rest of society, they'll be like, I'm not doing that. Huh? I'm not doing that. Now, what is the verse? فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ. Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khairah. That in the legal retribution, qisas, meaning a life for a life. If a person, he intentionally killed somebody, then his life will be taken likewise. But Allah, he says that in this manner, there's hayat, there's life. How is that? There's life. By ending this man's life, there's life. Why? So he can't kill nobody else. But even greater than that, because other people will be like, I'm not doing that. if you kill somebody, you're gonna get killed. And then they see him. Why is he getting killed? They said, because he killed somebody. Well, I'm not killing nobody. So then now the people will be alive. And life is preserved like this because of this. But because of this, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ.
Like in the middle, it will be revenge.
Yeah, it'll be revenge. Yeah, then one would kill another, and another would kill another, and then the tribe will kill another, and then they have the bloodshed and the wars and tribes for non-ending. Then it's oppression, and next thing you know, oh, you're from that tribe, we kill you. Oh, you're from this tribe, I'll kill you. Yeah, like this. But Islam has stopped that. And so by taking that life, it brings life. And he stops him from that oppression, and likewise the rest of the people, they see that and they don't want that to happen to them. And this is from the beauty of Al-Islam, from the justice of Al-Islam. And then on top of that, that's a means, if he's sincere and repents, that's a means of repentance for him. And the one who's taken to account with a legal punishment in this life, he will not be taken to account for that in the hereafter. He will not be punished twice. So the beauty of Al-Islam is something that really could be discussed for classes and classes. But it's very important to be aware of that. This will make you love Islam and make you be proud and thankful to be a Muslim, and to not hide and to not be scared. Rather, alhamdulillah, especially in these lands, people, you can do whatever you want in America. You can be this, you can be that. That's the way, the American way. You wanna be a Wiccan, you can be a Wiccan. You know what a Wiccan is? A devil worshiper. A magician. You want to be a magician? The person that can be a magician. If you go to the prisons, the one who is a prison, the prison man who's in charge of the religions, he has to serve all of the religions. If there's somebody there that's a devil worshiper, he has to give him service and time for devil worshiping. If there's another person, he's a Wiccan man, he's a Wiccan and he does charms and spells, he has to give him time weekly. Weekly, that's their right in the prison. In the prison, not talking about in the street, I'm talking about in the prison. In the prison, he has a right and he has a day that the man gonna have to bring him the devil book, and at this time he gets to come out of his cell and go to the chapel and worship the devil and call the people to do that with him, like this. And it even, SubhanAllah. And then somebody who's a Muslim, oh, I'm not Muslim, my name's Mo. Afraid to even say that he's Muslim. This man, he's blatantly talking about he's a devil worshiper. And this one, he's talking, they have another religion where they believe in a spaghetti plate spaceship. I forget the name of it. Wallahi al-Azim. When I went for to get a badge here in Georgia, the man, he told me this. He said that he has to give time for, I forgot the name of the religion right now, but they believe in a spaceship, a spaghetti plate spaceship in the sky. And that's their religion. Wow. And they have a day. He told me that. He told me that. Yani, subhanAllah. And he told me as a chaplain in the state system, you have to provide services for all of these people. You can't be prejudiced. So I knew right away I could never be a chaplain. Huh? You can never be a chaplain. You have to. You have to give time. Oh, you're a Catholic? Here's your time for a Catholic. Here's your books. Fadlan. Oh, you're a Methodist? Here's your time. You're a Satanist? Your time. And here you're the what's this, spaghetti plate? Here's your time. Like this. You have to cooperate upon Baathil and Itham and Udwan. You have to be the chaplain. Because he asked me, why don't you be a chaplain? I said, okay, what do you have to do? And he told me these affairs. I said, I can never be a chaplain. Uh-huh. No, that's his job. He's going to get money. That money is suhd. Yeah. No doubt. My point from mentioning all these affairs is that a believer should not be scared to be a Muslim in these lands. Khalas. They're doing all, you can be this and you can, that was my point. That's how we got to this conversation, huh? You can be this one and you can be that one, you can be that one. This one, he dresses with his hair like that. This one, he dressed with his hair like that. This one, he wore this type of clothes and that type of clothes. This one, he dressed like a woman. And he comes in and he got a job in Starbucks and all of this type of stuff like this. And he serve you your food. SubhanAllah. And then you're afraid to have a beard? Well, where's the iman? He's very weak, huh? So to cultivate that faith and to learn about the beauty of Islam and the greatness of Islam and the favor that you have. Alhamdulillah, your name is Muhammad. Your name is Abdullah. Your name is Yusuf. Alhamdulillah, the names of prophets. Ismail, like this. Alhamdulillah, and Uthman. These are beautiful names. This is something a believer is happy for, thankful for. Like this. Even from the beauty of Islam, likewise, is not allowed to harm the disbelievers and to betray them and to trick them. We have to be just with them likewise. We have to be just with them likewise. And we have to obey the laws that are not in contradiction to our religion. And from the laws of the land that are set for the general society to be peaceful and to be safe and the likes like this, we comply to that. We abide by that. We don't shed their blood. We don't lie to them. It's not allowed to cheat them and deceive them, even though we detest them and dislike them. And we believe that they'll be in the fire for eternity if they had died in that manner. But this will not carry us to violate their rights and to shed their blood or to take their wealth unlawfully because of the beauty of Islam. Islam is beautiful and just and is the legislation of the creator of creation, of the Lord of the worlds, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the beauty of Islam is that it's based upon ease. From the beauty of Islam is that the foundation of the legislation is al-yusr. Inna hadha ad-din yusran. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah, He wants ease for you. He does not want hardship for you. And this ease is in every aspect of the legislation. And again, we go back to the beginning, in the tree of faith, to believe in the Creator, that He is the only one who's worthy in worship. Is this hard to believe? Does the mind not just accept that there's a Creator, that this creation did not come from nowhere, that it did not create itself? أخلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون أم خلقوا السماوات والأرض بل لا يوقنون. Or do we think that the creation was created from nothing, or that the creation created itself, or that you were created from nothing, you just popped up here, or that you created yourself, or that you created the heavens and the earth yourself? No, that's not possible at all. So then the only answer is that there's a Creator who created it. And then if we ponder over the creation like we did in the previous classes, we'll see that the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is powerful and strong and knowledgeable and wise and merciful and kind. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. By pondering over His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that it's very easy to believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. You just have to explain to them who Allah is. Allah is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. There's nothing worthy of worship except for this. It's very easy to believe. To believe that Allah Azza wa Jal, He created angels. This is not hard to believe. Alhamdulillah. To believe that Allah, He sent prophets and messengers throughout mankind with revelation as guidance and direction, showing them how to live, showing them that which is good for them. Meaning that from His kindness and mercy, He didn't create them with no purpose and leave them to fend for themselves. Brother, from His mercy is He sent messengers. Huh? Inna kunna mursirin. Huh? Rahmatan min Rabbik. Verily we sent messengers. Allah, He says, Rahmatan min Rabbik. As a mercy from your Lord. It's a mercy that Allah, He sent the messengers. A mercy that Allah, He sent revelation. It's a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal, act of kindness. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is easy to believe. Alhamdulillah. So it's easy to believe. Is it easy to believe that God is a son, and the son is God? Huh? And then, but then the God is the son, but the son is God. So which one came from which one? And either the son came from the God, or the God came from the son. But then they say, but no, He's not the son nor the God, but it's the Holy Ghost. The Father is the God, and then the Son is the God. But then the Holy Ghost is the God. So which one is God? Which one is the creator? Well, the Father is the creator. Okay, but what about the Son? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's foolishness. It's lies. They lied. It's an yaqida nabita. They made it up here on the earth. They freestyled that one. They made that one up. Is the cow worthy of worship? Is the star worthy of worship? Is the sun worthy of worship? Yeah, they're not worthy of worship. They're not worthy of worship. Who is worthy of worship? The creator of the star, the creator of the cow, the creator of the moon, the creator of the sun. Is he worthy of worship? Yeah, he's worthy. That's not hard to believe. The prayer, is it hard? You have to pray all day long? All morning long you have to pray. For hours and hours and hours you have to pray. I remember whenever I was a child, one time I had a friend, his mother was a Buddhist, and she used to wake us up all morning for hours making this crazy noise. I never knew what it was. Finally, I peeked on her one morning. I remember this. And she is before a little idol. She's before a little idol, and she's begging and making this crazy noise. I don't even understand it. For so long. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Then other people, they're going to go and sit down, and they're going to hit the thing. Bang. And then sit there like this for like a long time while it's making a ringing noise. And this is their worshiping their God like this. Huh? And he, subhanallah. Yani, the point is, Islam, you pray 5-10 minutes. In the morning time, and then you go about your business. You take care of your affairs. You give money. You enjoy your wife, your family, your children. You laugh. Alhamdulillah. You come back again and you pray. You remember Allah. You pray 5-10 minutes again. Khalas, it's not a long time. It's not hard. You stand. You bow. You make sujood. This is all not hard. Actually, it's beneficial for your body, and your soul, and your mind. But the point is, it's not hard. Even if it became hard because somebody was sick. You don't got to stand no more. You can sit down. Even if it's so hard he can't get up no more, he can just lay down. He can just lay down. And it's not hard. It's easy in the first place. And if any circumstance happened to come where it's hard, he's traveling now. Okay, make it two then. You don't leave the prayer. No, you have to pray. Just make it two though, instead of four. This is the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's easy. Ease comes. Oh, you're fasting, you can't fast? He's too old, he's not able to fast. Khalas, just feed a poor person for every day then. You can't fast, then you feed somebody. You can't leave the food off, then you feed somebody who needs the food. Then, like this, in this manner. Yani, for the one who's extremely sick and ill, or the one who's old and he can never fast, and the likes like this. Or even the one who is not extremely sick, but he's sick right now. He don't have to fast. He can break his fast and eat all day long. And drink all day long. And then make it up after Ramadan's over. And make it up after Ramadan's over. Or if he's traveling, maybe he's very healthy, but he has to travel. He has some business to take care of. Or he needs to visit his family. So now he's traveling. It's hard. It's difficult. So he can eat all day long. He can eat all day long. He can eat sweets and savory things and drink. Alhamdulillah. And it's Ramadan. He doesn't have to. They just make it up later. Because it's easy. The religion is easy. The deen is easy. This is from the beauty of Islam. From the beauty of Islam is that it's not hard, it's not difficult. Somebody who got $50,000, it's a lot of money, right? No, he has to pay zakat. He has to give some of that up. How much does he have to give, you know? $1,250. He himself, he has $50,000. $50,000. All he have to give up is less than $1,200. Zakat, charity, to a poor person. A small amount of money from a large amount of wealth. From the one who has his needs met to somebody who is in need. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, that right there is beautiful. But then on top of that, that's easy, right? If somebody has 50,000, to give 1,000 of it, is that hard? That's easy. From the beauty of Al-Islam and in these affairs, and this is from the means to increase in faith. We ask Allah to increase our faith and to take our souls while He's pleased with us. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.